Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Wildfire smoke still lingers, creating a hazy sunshine today with dry conditions. High temperatures scrape the low 80s. Winds are barely moving out of the north, and tonight we'll see a few clouds filtering in. Overnight lows drop to about 60. Tomorrow, we stay sunny and highs still hit the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. How y'all doing? Hope you are having a great afternoon out there. Thanks so much for joining us. James here, solo show, but I am not alone. I got all of you to hang out with. Plus, we got plenty of things to talk about. We got baseball and more baseball to get to. Football training camp is going on. Got a couple of things there we want to get to. A little bit of news and notes here and there we'll touch on. And we'll wrap up our show. Last Friday, got to do an interview with our rafters, our last meet your rafters of the season with the players. Assistant GM Jake Adams is actually going to join us on the morning show tomorrow morning. So we'll be talking with him then. But with the players, we got to hang out with one of our catchers and hang out and talk with Ryan Williams, intern over there. And we're going to play that interview for you. We're going to wrap up the show today doing that. So if you want to get in, jump in now. Now's the time. Get in the batter's box. Hit us in the numbers. A bunch of other phrases. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Love to hear from you. We will get into a little bit of local theater later, too. What that has to do with sports? Absolutely nothing. But there is a connection. We will touch on that later. But if you did not hear... it was announced a couple hours ago that the board of directors, the powers that be with the NCAA, they have decided that they are not going to be expanding March Madness for the men's and women's sides. Reading from the article here from the Mouse Network itself, the tournament will not be expanded beyond 68 teams this season, but future growth remains on the radar. NCAA Senior Vice President Basketball David Gavitt announced yesterday that expanding the tournament, in essence, what they wanted to do was expand it to either 72 or 76 teams. And the holdup to this, according to NCAA President Charlie Baker, was basically logistics. Basically, they couldn't figure out that part of it. And by logistics, they couldn't do it in time. Otherwise, they would have done it. So I don't know about you, but when I first saw this headline, I got excited. I'm like, oh, they listened. They understand. We don't want this. Nobody is asking for this. But it turns out they just weren't smart enough to be able to pull it off in time. And this will probably be next year. That phone line number I mentioned earlier, you can also text us through the Civic Media app or call us through that app. But however you got to do it, smoke signals, Morse code, whatever you need, I want to know, is there anybody out there that wants the NCAA tournament expanded? And we can even take this farther. Did you ever want it expanded? I love having underdogs in there. And like a lot of people, one of my favorite things about March Madness is the upsets. But we already had that. It's not Goliath versus David. It's Goliath versus Zeus. That's all that's left are the Goliaths and Zeuses and everything. And to start out the tournament, you've got Zeus versus David. I don't know what good this does other than padding their pockets with money. And we're seeing more and more of this, not just in the business world, which the sports world is. I mean, they put the sports label on it, and we lose our minds over it, passionately and all these things, like we don't do over our favorite, fast food place. But they treat it like a business because it is. And they treat us like we're customers because we are. And when it comes to it, they're done caring about the phrase, the customer is always right, does not mean anything to anybody with any kind of power anymore. It feels like, it sure seems like, because nobody's asking for this any more than anybody was asking for AI in all of our emails. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I've done my homework on this, and I've looked at the numbers, but you know, surveys can be misleading sometimes. I want to hear from you guys. Let me know if I'm wrong. Correct me. I don't mind being wrong. This is not your typical sports show. I'm not going to get on the air here and pretend I know everything and talk at a really high volume all the time. I can't stand that either. Like, lower your voice, man. Lower your voice. You've got a microphone for a reason. Some people out there, just because you talk loud doesn't mean that you're right or you know what you're talking about. And that goes for the NCAA, too. Because nobody wants this. Nobody is looking for it. And I am really getting tired also of the idea, well, what are you going to do? Don't watch. That's what you can do. If we're not watching, they're going to listen. The only way to have them hear you is to affect their wallets. I don't know how much longer society has to exist for people to realize when it comes to people with power, the only thing they listen to is when you affect their wallet. I am all for peaceful protest. I am for, you know, doing a lot of different things. You want to get an online, you know, signature thing going. Sure, go for it. Those are all cool. Great. I wish you well, and I hope it makes an impact. But until you affect their wallet, they're probably not even going to hear you. Now, if you're hearing all this and you're like, yeah, I agree with you, James, but I'm going to keep watching. I get it. I understand. But then we don't really get to complain, do we? We have a power to change this. And if we're going to keep watching, then we don't really have anybody to blame. I'll tell you right now, if they turned this to 76 teams, it loses its love to me. I don't know. It just doesn't seem as interesting to me. I can say that with baseball, if they strike, they go away for a year, I'm probably going to be there when they come back. With NCAA March Madness, the charm of it, like, I don't know, I'll be paying attention, but watching the games, giving these advertisers what they want, because that's what it comes down to. You could still read, you know, a newspaper. You could still read a box score. You can still know what's going on with your teams. But going to games, buying team, jerseys and stuff, watching the games on TV, giving them the numbers, giving them the reason to get more money. When you stop doing that, that's when they start to listen. And, you know, with some teams, they never listen. And then they just move the team. But I think if we're talking about here in Wisconsin, how tired are you really of the Brewers not really spending? How tired are you of this, the other questions? If you want to solve something, that's what you got to do. I can say that for me, with the NCAA tournament at least, I won't be around when that happens. I probably won't be watching. I'll pay attention. I'll pay attention to box scores so I can do my job here and stuff, but I can't see getting into it when because to me, if they go to 76 teams, they're just eventually going to get to 100, whether it's in my lifetime or not. And the part of the dance was getting invited to the dance because you were good enough, not because you existed. There's like 163 or 193 somewhere in between their college basketball teams. You tell me almost half of them, if not half of them, are going to get into the tournament? That's no. And how long is this tournament going to last? How many more games are you putting on these players that are not getting paid, by the way? You could shove NIL in my face all you want. Not every player is getting paid yet. When they do, I'll shut up. It's one of the more ridiculous things, I think, to not only ask of viewers, but ask of fans. People already had a hard time the last two seasons with the momentum of NCAA basketball. And as well, there's plenty of other things to worry about. See, this is part of what they do. Expansion is easy. Notice this in hockey years ago. Hockey was dying ratings-wise. They were hurting so bad. Bettman comes in and believes he's the golden boy. He's going to fix everything. And expansion. We're going to take the Hartford Whalers. We're going to take this Canadian team. And we're going to put them in Arizona. And we're going to put them in Columbus and all this. And some of them worked and some of them didn't. But none of it helped the league. it wasn't until the league got on ESPN and started getting more play that it really started, the ratings started to go up and everybody started to realize, oh yeah, this is a great game. Expansion doesn't help. Expansion makes you think they're doing something. Expansion makes you think, distraction. Ooh, cool new jerseys. Oh, what is the team going to call themselves? It doesn't solve nothing. There are plenty of problems with NCAA basketball, both on the men's and the women's sides. They should be giving and looking for more reasons to keep these kids in school so that they can hone their craft and be better at it when they get into the league. Why do you think in every NBA draft in the last in recent years, Europe is kicking our butt? Those kids are being trained. Those kids are treating it as it's a job, like it's a profession. And working at it and honing their skills. So when they are finally ready to hit the NBA, they know how to dribble a basketball with both hands. They can go to the right or the left. You got guys making $300 million that can't do that. Invest in the brains of these athletes. The time of them, not expansion. If you're not good enough to get into the tournament right now as it stands, get back in the gym. Keep working. That's what this is supposed to be about. It's something to shoot for. Not, well, it doesn't matter if we suck. We're still getting in the tournament. What makes me want to watch that? Why would I want to? What is the challenge to that? It's a smack in the face of the history of every single other tournament there's been. Like, I'm not a fool. Well, sometimes. I am an adult. Sometimes. And I understand it's going to happen eventually. I know that that's where it's going. But all I can do, I can't support it. And I certainly don't understand it, other than rich people wanting to be richer. And these universities, which are businesses, by the way, they are not just institutions. They are businesses. They get to slide by that little down that little line. Oh, we're a public institution that makes millions and millions and millions and billions of dollars. And that in every single state in the union, the highest paid state employee is more than likely the college football coach. But, you know, it's not a business. Want to talk with Michael about this one on Wednesday on Playmakers. David White has been selected as the NFL player representative, intern executive director. Want to get more into that and who Mr. White is, if you're not familiar with him. But just a tease for Wednesday, we'll get into that a little bit more then. Shifting gears a little bit to baseball. Those have not heard, Milwaukee Brewers All-Star rookie Jake Mizrowski was placed on injured list with a left tibia contusion prior to his scheduled start against the Nats on Sunday. He told reporters that he anticipates missing about two starts, but being ready after the 15 days is up. They don't look at this as a long-term injury, and if anything, it looks like they're being overly cautious with him, which I think is a very good thing. The Brewers also recalled Logan Henderson from AAA Nashville to start against the Nats on Sunday. He's had a decent season. Really, when you look at the Brewers pitching staff, I don't know who's had a horrible season. There's guys that have had some bad starts. There's guys that have had some bad starts back-to-back. But I don't know that anybody in that bullpen is having a horrible year. It's kind of next man up, and somebody shows up and does a pretty decent job since the first month of the season, of course. But you certainly want to be cautious with a guy like this, and I look at this no differently than everything I was talking about with Tyrese Halliburton, him playing in the finals. Two very different sports, two very different things, a regular season game and the NBA finals. I completely understand that, and my answer does not change one bit. Ask Indiana Pacer fans how they feel about the next season. Are they excited? Are they looking forward to it? Was it worth it? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to put him out there. Well, we're in a pennant chase. Yeah, if the Brewers blow this and don't get into the playoffs, that's on them, not Jacob Mizorowski, not one player. It's on the whole team. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't believe that's even close to happening. And I don't think the Brewers think it is either. Otherwise, they might have tried to put him out there. Who knows? But I don't think that organization is smart when it comes to these things, I believe. And I think they're being smart about it, not putting him out there. But he'll be back in 15, and I don't know. Giving him a little bit of rest in this time doesn't hurt either. This kid's never pitched this much in his life. He's never pitched at this level, of course. Giving him a little break before the most intense moments of his life, possibly, as he goes into the playoffs, not bad. Not bad at all. I did want to take a little bit of a look at training camp. Some interesting notes coming out of training camp regarding the NFL and some of these team, some of the players, and you know, some of the players that Michael and I were talking about on Friday with last week, I should say, with Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons and the holdouts and the way this is going to go. It must be nice to be Jerry Jones and have so much money and be surrounded by so many yes men that you're always right. What is that got to be like? I feel like I live the opposite life. I'm always wrong. I feel like I have nothing but people around me that like, no, that's not correct. No. it doesn't obviously make any sense on paper other than the fact that if you are Jerry Jones and you care more about headlines than playoff wins. But there's no end game that it ends well with. Even if they re-sign Micah Parsons and he's got the more money than, you know, any defensive player has ever gotten in NFL history. I mean, it's not as if they could tell you all they want in the microphones. That we're all happy-go-lucky singing Kumbaya now. But we're pretty much, we're smarter than that. We know better than that, right? And it's not how human beings work. Especially human beings that have gotten to this level, being obsessed and crazy passionate about their particular job. I mean, if you want to believe that, that's cool, but there's just no way you can get me to believe that, that even if he signs him, I feel like the damage is already done. But we'll see. Let's take a call quick. Good afternoon, you're on the game.
James.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Let's talk some Vikings football.
Let's do it.
Because I know you want to hear that.
I was, you know, they are one of the teams I did not get to hear much of what's going on with their training camp.
We're a sleeper team, dude.
Sure were last year.
Well, yeah, until J.J. McCarthy blew out his knee. But anyways.
Oh, I mean, I think actually with the McCarthy thing, that they, I don't think a lot of people were giving them a chance. It was once Sam Darnold took over and the season he had that I don't think anybody saw that coming. But anyway, I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, that goes to show what kind of a coach Kevin McConnell is.
Yeah,
he's like a quarterback whisperer. But yeah, there's a reason why he was the coach of the year. But on the defensive side, I think people are sleeping on the Vikings defense. Because we got Vernon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen, and I think it's going to be a very formidable defensive line.
I see what you're saying. You know, and there's one thing too with Minnesota where they seem to do this. They kind of guys make their name being on that defensive line, and you know we haven't heard of them beforehand, but then they start having, you know, a good season, or maybe they're a journeyman and get there and do some good damage. We just saw, you know, one of them go into the Hall of Fame. You know, and Jared Allen.
I was going to ask you about that. What did you think of that?
Oh, it was good. It was good.
Jared Allen going in. I thought that was a great. That was awesome.
I don't like to do this, but you know, when we see these guys, oftentimes it's been years, maybe even a decade since we've seen them,
and you're
always wondering. Yeah, he played for almost everybody in the NFC North. If you wonder what they're going to look like, Jared Allen looked great. He looked great. He looked like he's been in good shape, takes good care of himself. Sterling Sharp looked great. It was good to see that. You worry sometimes with former players, especially former football players. You never know what they're going to look like.
That was really awesome to see Sterling get in. I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah.
That was a great one. It was a great speech. He did a great job.
Overdue.
Yeah. Yeah. When we're talking about a sport that everybody knows, everybody throws around, every average sports fan, every football fan knows pretty much the average expectancy for an NFL player. It's a handful of years. And yet you're going to tell me 7 years isn't long enough to make it into the Hall of Fame. Miss me with that. That's ridiculous. If that's the case, then a second contract should be guaranteed. Then just be guaranteed, whether you're in the league or not, you get that second contract if it's such a given.
Hey, by the same token, like you said, Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame, and I don't think he played 7 years.
Yeah, well, I know for certain Terrell didn't have seven good years. I don't think he had seven good ones. I think that you put guys in on a lot of things outside of just stats and how many years you played. With your team, with the Vikings this year, how are you feeling about J.J. in there? Have you heard anything or seen any camp of him?
Oh, I've seen enough that I know what his talent level is, and I think that we are sitting very well. But again, like I always say, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Pretty much how any Vikings fan is.
I was just gonna say
for the last 10 years.
yeah, and I don't blame you. And I don't blame you, man. I mean, you're in a better place than I've been in. I'll tell you that. I mean, you got a lot more to hope for. Justin Jefferson alone is enough.
I got to pick your brain, James, as a Bears fan. How do you feel about Caleb?
Great. I feel really good about it. I have a quarterback. I enough said. End of discussion. For me at least. His development, his training camp, how it's going, how it isn't, last season, that's yesterday. That's yesterday. Right. I don't care 1 second about it. It's cool to look at some of the highlights or, you know, things, but you know, I think one thing that I always think this when it comes to especially fans of like other teams. Like for me, you know, being a Chicago fan and being in the middle of Wisconsin, I've obviously heard my whole life, whether it's from Detroit, Minnesota, or Green Bay fans, of how horrible my team is and how bad they suck. And yet,
oh,
you guys,
I get that
and yet,
yeah,
and,
I hear
well, and I hear that, and I don't even disagree to a large part. But my argument is, well, why are you taking so much joy in beating us then? Like, if we're so bad, then you should just be like moving on, you know, like that would be a bigger insult than taking joy or actually like, well, we've owned you guys. Yeah, who hasn't? Like, wow, great job. You knocked down a person who's 2 feet tall. Good job. To me, it's very similar to what we're talking about here. I believe in building these teams up so that when I beat them and my team does win, it does feel better. And I can actually, I can actually trash talk. What good is your trash talk if you're beating up somebody smaller than you? That doesn't mean anything. You're just a bully.
I got a buddy that's a Seahawks fan, and I'm really curious to see how he feels about Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
After the 14-3 with the Vikings, it's like, okay, that, we're talking about a guy that saw ghosts.
Yeah.
And Kevin O'Connell actually made him a legitimate quarterback, and now he got signed out in Seattle, and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to see how that goes.
I'm curious because people mature, people grow, and maybe Sam Darnold did. But it's hard to imagine somebody growing out of that. And then when you think of the last couple of games of the season that he played for the Vikings, where he looked a little bit more like the old Sam Darnold. And not for nothing, and they got some nice receivers in Seattle. They don't have Justin Jefferson. They don't have, in my book, the tied for – it's 1A, 1B between him and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Like, pick your poison, whichever one you want any given Sunday. I'll take the one you don't want. They're both amazing. And when you're throwing to him, it's not taking anything away from him or from Sam Darnold. All the stuff I said before, maybe he did mature. Maybe he just got better and more comfortable at the game.
Right.
But when you're throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and you have a coach like that, you better look good.
Right.
You should be putting up numbers. You know, I mean, hey, you know, we'll see what happens for Seattle. I don't like that. I don't think I wouldn't be betting on it. I don't think anything.
I'm still I'm still kind of confused about the whole Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, they got Justin Fields and Russell, and now they got Aaron, and then they got rid of Justin Fields.
I think that they've gotten a lot of pressure one way or the other. It's the fan base, it's management, or even it is Mike Tomlin being fed up himself, but they got tired of winning games 9-6.
I think it's a make or break season for them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see any scenario where Mike Tomlin's not back. But, you know, this is the NFL. You know, keep watching. We'll see what happens. Who knows?
Well, hey, that's like last year when I called in and I said, it's not about the starting quarterback. It's whether or not you have a backup quarterback.
Yep. Especially
and
as we
that
get...
That is what it turned into everything. Now, I heard Trey Lance had a good showing at the Hall of Fame game the other evening.
Yeah. And now,
for anybody that pays attention to that, but
Well, good for him too. Good for him. But and good to talk to you, man. We got to get to break, but
hey,
I appreciate the call.
Good to hear from you, and I'm glad I found you on Playmakers.
Appreciate you, man. Have a great night, and thank you. Best listeners in radio. We will be back. We'll talk some more training camp and talk some Green Bay. What's going on over there in Lambeau? Coming up on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quaddy Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for Playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quaddy Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, slight shower chance, lows upper 50s to 60. And hazy sunshine for tomorrow, clouds mixed at times, high in the low 80s. Chance of showers and storms Wednesday. Warms up a little more and more humid. Highs in the mid 80s. Right now it's 80.
Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Big thanks to the King for playing us in. Big thanks to Quaddy Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. We appreciate them sponsoring the segment. Coming up at the end of the show, we're going to wrap up with the Meet Your Rafters pre-recorded interview we had from last Friday. We had on Harrison Garrett, catcher from Knoxville, and we had Ryan Williams, intern over at the Rafters. We were joined by, and we talked with them. That interview coming up in a little bit. If I seem a little distracted, everybody, I gotta be honest with you. I'll let you look behind the curtain here a little bit. I have an auditions tonight. I'm directing the opening play, the fall play, the first play, the leadoff hitter for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's opening season, their main stage season. The first show out the gate, the leadoff hitter, is On Golden Pond, the classic, American classic, I believe. And very excited about directing. I haven't directed since high school. Also a little nervous. Little good nerves, though. So I'm excited about that. I'm leaving right from here. As soon as these mics go off, I am rushing over to the theater for auditions tonight. If you have ever wanted to be a part of things at Community Theater, if you've done stuff there before, come and join the team. We're going to have some fun with this one. It's a heartfelt, heavy drama, I think, remembered by most that way. But there is some wonderfully fun jokes and sarcasm. And just great humor in it as well. And we're going to make sure to have a lot of fun with this one. If you want to find out more, get tickets, go to wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Continuing some training camp talk. And we'll talk about any team you want to on this show, everybody. But taking a look in Green Bay, two quick notes. One, this is most certainly Jordan Love's team. If there was any doubt, the last couple of training camps have proven that. According to Coach Matt LaFleur, when asked about Jordan Love's approach, and at night and day, he said, even from last year, and I thought he took a big jump last year, way more presence. As the kids say, he's got aura. I've never heard the kids say that, but I'll take his word for it. He's around a lot more younger people. I don't know. this is... This is what you expect, certainly, from a young quarterback and all those things, but it's also something you don't always see. And getting better in the game, you know, getting smarter in the game, we expect that. That's part of the job. That's part of every job. I mean, I've been doing this one for 20-plus years, and tomorrow I hope to be better at it, and the next day better than that. I think that's what we all try to do with whatever work we're doing. But that's on the field. All the other stuff that you get paid for, it is part of the job, but isn't necessarily, there's not a coach that can necessarily help you with. There's plenty of people out there trying to, that will tell you that they can make you a leader. Nobody can make you a leader, man. I believe that every single human being has leadership qualities in them and can be a leader, but they got to believe it before anybody else. If they don't believe it, you can spend all the money you want. You can buy all the self-help books you want. It ain't going to change anything. Jordan Love is believing it. Jordan Love is walking the walk. He gets it. I thought last year we saw a little of it, but at the same time, I feel like there was way too many times I saw some really bad body language, which I don't blame him for because the previous two guys were pretty guilty of that too, and they got away with it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers especially. When he was winning, nobody had a problem with his bad body language. He was a motivator. And as soon as he starts saying some bad things and not winning, now the same stuff he was doing, you know. Tom Brady never got this because Tom Brady left on top. But he's proving it now more and more in the business world. Look at Tom Brady since retirement. He's got plenty of money. He's got plenty of opportunities. And I don't think he's done a darn good thing with any of it. He just had a press conference that went horrible. He could not seem more out of touch. And then when I hear him announce games, he even seems out of touch with football. Which I don't get. I don't know. But they're going to keep paying him. And they're going to keep pushing him on us like he's Gemini or something like that. One of these AIs. When it comes to what Jordan Love has pulled off in the last two seasons, maturity-wise and leadership-wise, looks like it's getting there, it's growing, and hey, I mean, sky's the limit for a player like him. When it comes to the team itself and the training camp notes we're seeing, I think one of the more interesting headlines I've seen, when they're talking about these training camp teams, news in training camp, and they're breaking every team down, the main headline at the top is basically the position battle, or what's the most interesting position battle, or something along those lines. And for Green Bay Packers, it's wide receiver. And they may have the most interesting and certainly the most competitive, you know, wide receiver rooms in the NFL. And I looked at that and I thought about it for a couple of minutes and I'm like, well, I see where they're going with this. I don't know whether I agree or not, and that's only because I haven't done a ton of homework on that. I love wide receivers, and I pay a lot of attention to it, but I haven't broken down every single team's wide receivers 1 through 5 and who's battling who for the number 4 wide receiver slot. But, you know, when you live here and you run a sports show 3 times a week, you're going to focus on the local team. That is the Green Bay Packers. And looking at them, where you've got, of course, obviously, the Golden Boy and Matthew Golden coming in. You've got Reed, Dobbs, you've got your tight ends as well. And that's not even mentioning, you know, Christian Watson whenever he comes back. You got a competitive room, and you got a lot of young guys who are not only trying to make a name for themselves, but trying to get a second contract in some cases, and in others, just trying to build on the chemistry that they have with Jordan Love. You know, Matthew Golden's got to create that from nothing. So they're going to want to get him reps. They're going to want to get him in there. And as that happens, you know, Dobbs or Reed are going to, you know, not get some reps, or some of the other receivers. So you got a really interesting battle going on in there with that, which I feel like can only make them better. I do think that they could use a Terry McLaurin. I do think they could use a leader in that locker room, in the wide receiver room. I believe there's a couple of them out there. I think a Keenan Allen. I think a DeAndre Hopkins. I think a couple of players that would be really good fits. Not DeAndre Hopkins. He signed to Baltimore. But there's a couple that I think bringing them in, even if they don't get a ton of reps, give them the money and have some leadership in that room. Because right now, I like the team, and I think that they've got a lot of potential. They look really good. I also know we were saying this exactly this time last year, and throughout the season, injuries happen. Sure, you know, you're not starting the season in Brazil, so there's a positive. But injuries are injuries. That's one thing. That's here or there. Next man up. That's what football's all about. I'm more so when things aren't going right, how is the body language and how is this team gelling and how are they playing together? I mentioned this a lot with the Rafters this season. I know nobody, including every single person over at Winterfield, is happy with the win-loss record this season. But I'll tell you one thing that I've enjoyed, and part of why I've kept following every game this season, is because this team don't quit. They keep trying. They may not win those games, but they're going to try. They're going to fight their tails off too. Are we going to see that from Green Bay this year? Are we going to see better when times are tough? How are they handling it? They got a heck of a first month of the season. But we're not going to be. You can't gauge anything. I don't care if a team's 4-0 and they're dominating world beaters. You can't tell anything from the first month of the season. But you're going to get an idea. You're going to get a feeling. Now, how many times have we seen a team start out bad and end up in the playoffs and all that? So, you know, we'll see where all that goes. But that said, I'm guessing that this team is going to come out and they're going to be looking to hit people in the mouth. I think that they have heard a lot of the talk of the lack of, whether it's turnovers or just like fight. Like, here's the thing. When I talk about that, when I talk about a killer on defense, when I talk about somebody that is going to smack somebody in the mouth and all that, I'm not talking about, you know, some of these, Vontaze Burfict. I'm not talking about that. Anybody can do that. Anybody could have complete disregard for their brain and just, you know, go smashing into people and everything and not really listening to their coaches or any of this stuff. I'm talking about the guy that is not just a killer physically, but mentally. I'm talking about that guy that is trash-talking the quarterback because he knows he's getting them off the game, not because he just wants to hear himself talk. the differences of a legend, a killer on defense, and the guys that can just hit hard. Well, you can tell. Just take a look at, you know, Canton. And you'll see all the guys that had a brain and could hit. You know, they don't talk about this a lot with the older players. But whether we're talking about Nitschke or Ditka or, I'm sorry, Nitschke or Butkus, any of the legendary linebackers that helped make the NFL, they were the leaders on that defense, not just because they hit hard, but because they were the smartest guy on the defense. They were mental killers. They understood the game. Quay Walker can hit. Quay Walker can play football. He's proven that. Can he keep his head on straight? Can he not let that offensive lineman who digs at him, says something to him, maybe hits him hard in the pile or something? Don't let it get to you. You can't. There's you know what the best revenge is? Not pushing him down in front of the referee, standing above him in the win column. This is my whole argument with beaning a batter. It makes no dang sense. Do you really think a guy's never going to swing a bat in the air anymore because he got hit by a pitch or because you hit one of his players or because you put him on base? You gave him what he wanted. You just put him on base and he didn't even have to swing the bat. Ooh, you really showed him. Well, that showed him. Oh, yeah, not wait, we're losing? Oh, my God, we're losing. How did that happen? Pride, dumb pride. That's what gave it to you. And we'll see how this goes for Green Bay in that regard. I think it's going to be a fun wide receiver room. And I think on the defensive side, that's where my eyes are going to be glued. How that defense plays together and who steps up. It's a lot of attention on Jordan Love, as there should be. He's the highest paid guy in that locker room. He should be he's the face of that franchise, or will be, or should be. And he's, you know, the in facto leader. I think where it gets even more interesting is who's going to step up and who is going to be that leader on defense. You know, there's a couple of guys who I think fit the bill, and there's a couple of guys who started to last year. The guys I'm thinking of are all in their second year in the league or their second year in Green Bay. So, I think things are looking pretty good in that regard. For now, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and get to our final timeout. And out of that timeout, we're going to go right into our pre-recorded interview with the River Kings. At Rafters, sorry. I'm getting all excited about River King season, I'll be honest with you. But Harrison Garrett, a wonderful person, great catcher for our River Rafters. See, I did it again. He joined us along with Ryan Williams, intern over at the Rafters. Got that interview coming up. It'll wrap it up, and then we'll be back on Wednesday with more playmakers right here on 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, slight shower chance, lows upper 50s to 60. And hazy sunshine for tomorrow, clouds mixed at times, high in the low 80s. Chance of showers and storms Wednesday. Warms up a little more and more humid. Highs in the mid 80s. Currently 81 degrees.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers, where we speak sport. Want to send a shout out to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, sponsoring this opportunity for us to hang out and have an episode of Meet Your Raptors. One more where we get to hang out with the boys of summer for a little bit longer. As the season is wrapping up, we're going to sit here and talk. We've got one of the players with us right now. We're going to introduce Harrison. Harrison, you mind letting us say your name and your position and everything?
Hi, my name's Harrison Garrett. I'm a catcher from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Thanks, Harrison. That's perfect. That's great. And that now the audience knows your voice, and they don't mix it up with mine. No, that's not, that was not going to happen. We also got Ryan with us, man. Introduce yourself for the audience that doesn't know.
My name is Ryan Williams. I'm a media relations intern for this year's Wisconsin Rapids Drafters. Happy to be back here.
Working on building a somewhere for Ryan to stay because we want to keep him here. Ryan's awesome.
Anytime.
I'm not even kidding, man. You've been great all summer, and I've really been having you on the air with us. You've been really helpful, not only getting us the details of all these events and everything, but just getting to know you and having fun. It's been
absolutely
great. It's been a lot of fun. As we're getting close to the end of all this, guys, I did have something that I wanted to ask. I didn't get a chance to bring this up in the pregame, but I wanted to know, and we'll kind of go to Harrison here in a moment with this, but for you, Ryan, is there something about this summer, this experience, that really stands out to you? I can only imagine how many memories you've created, how much you've enjoyed about it, but is there anything that really stands out? You don't have to pick just one, but anything really in particular that stands out about the experience?
I think the biggest thing for me is just the camaraderie I've had with my coworkers. This is by far the biggest intern class I've ever worked with. We have 17 interns. One of them is one of our starting pitchers in Kenny Schultz. So with three front office people and 17 coworkers, we're a tight-knit group, tight-knit family. Most people in the Northwoods, you look at teams like Madison, you look at teams like Kalamazoo, they have 20-plus front office and about 30 interns. And that's a big group. And for me, I really enjoy being around, seeing people's faces every day. And I've had a great summer here in Wisconsin Rapids.
You guys have been doing a great job. The front office has knocked it out of the park. They've done a fantastic job all season long, and I've heard great things, whether it's the events that have been going on or the specials, the jerseys, all the different things. The ballpark has been popping.
They work really hard, yeah.
It's been really fun. And if I can say this, and we don't use kid gloves around here. We're a very honest show, and we have an honest relationship with the Raptors. They know how we handle things and stuff. Season hasn't gone the way we would like it to. Now, to be fair, we'd like to be undefeated. All season long. So the bar is high. But being honest, as we are around here with the audience, with everybody, it hasn't gone exactly the way we wanted it to in a lot of ways. That's all. I bring that up as a point of the credit to the front office and the work that you guys have done, where you've just kept moving, kept things going, and kept the vibe and the energy really good.
Right.
And Harrison, now I flip it to you, mm-hmm. where in the clubhouse, in the dugout, one of the things that I've enjoyed, and part of my job is to catch Rafter baseball, make sure that we're playing on the airwaves, that we're taking care of our audience, and they can hear that Rafter baseball. But I also love baseball, so I'm going to, of course, listen. And whether I'm at a game or I'm watching these games, it doesn't matter if you guys are down 10 runs or you're down a couple. There's so much fight in this team. I don't see heads down. I don't see guys yelling at each other. I don't see these things that we see on a major league level all the time. But you guys seem to have kept it together and just keep fighting. Am I just seeing that, or is that something you felt, especially coming to the clubhouse a little later in the season?
You know, I think it's almost an embodiment of the people of Wisconsin Rapids. You know, we all bring this kind of fight every day to the clubhouse, and we're all just an energetic group. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of reasons to smile. So we're always out there giving our best and trying our hardest. You know, the difference between winning a lot of games and, you know, not winning a lot of games is just a few runs every game.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, whether it's been a rough season or not, we've played our hardest. And I think I think we embody the city. You know, we try and go out there and put a lot of fight on.
Yeah, and it shows. It shows. I think a perfect answer, man. One of the things that I'm always hesitant to, because my father was an athlete and I was raised around athletes and everything, so I never wanted to take winning and losing lightly. But at this level, the game's so much bigger than wins and losses. The things that Ryan was talking about from his perspective and from the front office perspective and all of that, and these interns and the experiences they get, there are, and you know this as well as I do, probably, Rye, there are so many stories of so-and-so started out as an intern and now they're a GM, or they're an assistant GM or something like that. And for you players, the development and every at-bat, getting those reps, getting a chance to be either seen by a scout or just add to your experience and learning the game better and better. There's no losing. You can't lose when those are the factors and when there is the bar and stuff. So I know that I've enjoyed this season. I know so many other people have. And one of the things we enjoy is getting to know the players. So I'm going to put you under the microscope for a second here, Harris, because I want to ask you a couple of things. I have to tell you right away, I didn't get to tell you this at first. I've had one of my best friends growing up was from the Tennessee area. So it's great to hear that accent again, yeah. Matt. Great, it's great to hear. Why baseball? What made you want to be a baseball player?
I don't know. There's something that I've always loved about baseball. It was like growing up, it's always been baseball. There's never been anything else. My parents didn't want me playing anything else. They thought I'd get hurt. So I always just played baseball, and it's been something I've always loved.
Was baseball big in your area?
Yeah, baseball's pretty big in Knoxville. There's a lot of people playing it there, so it's a lot of fun.
That's right on. I know that when Major League Baseball has been talking about expanding, that's one of the areas, Memphis, Nashville, they've been looking at.
Yeah.
Makes sense, especially with the love of baseball over there.
Yeah.
Right on.
There's a lot of it.
Just hope it's not my White Sox. I hope it's just not my why catcher of all the positions? And this is one that always it's one of my favorite things to talk to. I talk to a lot of goalies in hockey, and I notice a lot of similarities with those two positions and the type of people that do them.
Yeah.
Why catcher?
So it was a really easy choice for me because I've always had, like, ADHD, so I always want to be involved in the play. So catcher is the best because I'm just sitting there. I'm in every single play. I'm calling the play. Everybody else is looking at me, and I'm looking at everybody else. So I get the best view of the game, and it's really cool.
My papa taught me this when I was growing up about baseball, because I, like a lot of kids, you know, looked at the starting pitcher. Oh, that's the quarterback. No, it's the catcher. The catcher's the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it's such an interesting thing that you picked that up at really young, too, and seeing that. Completely with you, by the way, on that. It's such a key position, obviously, and I think that it's Seth and I, we do this show, Playmakers, and one of the things we've been talking about lately with the passing of Ryan Sandberg, greatest second baseman of all time. It's a fun debate, and there's really no wrong answer. You know, you can just throw in your feelings and your opinions, and you back it up with this or that. When we got to catcher, and I was talking to my dad about this, it's such a short conversation. There's like 3-4 names, and like, boom, it's either one of these guys, that's your list. There's lots of great catchers in history, but as far as if you're going to talk about the GOAT, the greatest, there's only a couple of names, really, you think of.
Yeah.
And that position is ripe for not only all the things you just touched on, but I think all the action happens right there. All the fun, all the excitement and stuff is right there. So that's another part of it that I would think would be cool, too. With as far as influences, getting into baseball, and, you know, whether it's family members or it's actual ball players, were there any big influences for you?
The big influence for me would definitely be my father. My father was always there for me for everything, all the hitting lessons, everything. He's always been there supporting me through every bit, throwing in the yard, hitting me during batting practice, all of it. So it's always been my father, and then, you know, we'd always make the trip up to Michigan, watch the Detroit Tigers play.
Oh, right on.
So that's always been a big thing for us, watching the Tigers.
Pudge played there for a little while.
Yeah.
I say Pudge, and that could be like 4 or 5 catchers I just met. It's a pretty popular nickname, but that's cool. That's really cool. That's a cool story. I appreciate you sharing that, man. And as we're wrapping up here and everything, I did have a couple of more questions. One of the things that I was wondering is, and I'll ask you this next, Ryan, for you, What is when you look at the end of the season, got 9 games left, do you have a goal? Do you want to just go out there and play? What is your mindset going into this final week, if you will, of the season?
Going into the final stretch, I think we're all focused on winning each game. You know, it's not like look at it as a whole and be like, we're going to win these last nine games. You know, it's we're going to win today. You know, we're going to win tomorrow. And then when we get to tomorrow, it's the next day. You know, it's one day at a time. And then from there, we just see where we get. But every day we're going to go out there. We're going to do our best. We're going to put on a good show, and we're going to fight pretty hard.
Right on. Right on. I appreciate that. Ryan, for you and your and from what you do and everything, what is your approach at this last kind of stretch of the season?
I'd say the approach is just to finish strong. Prove that you've already done 64 games, get to 72, right? And for me, as somebody who aspires and wants to go work in professional baseball, those guys work 162 games, and that's a leap that I'd like to strive for, and that's something that I would want to pride myself with in going into that. Just making sure that I'm doing everything that I wanted to do, and just don't give up. Just keep going.
It's a great answer. Great stuff, man. So one last thing I wanted to ask Harrison, because you have played for a number of teams in this Northwoods League of ours, and that's why I think a lot of our audience will recognize your name and stuff. And when it comes to the, not to say one is better than the other, I don't like to do any of that or anything, but how have you enjoyed your time here in Rapids? How have you been experiencing the place?
My favorite part about going to a lot of different places and seeing a lot of different faces is always the people. The people in Wisconsin Rapids make it such a beautiful place. It's beautiful enough without the people, but it's really the people you meet here that separates it from other places. I'd say everybody here is awesome. They're so nice. Everybody's always got a smile on their face, so it's hard not to be grateful for places like this.
Yeah. Again, well done, man. Well done. And if you ever want to run for politics around here, you'd be great. You'd be great. You'd do a great job here. And a wonderful answer. Yeah, right. Same here. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about some of the fun things that are going to be going on over at Witterfield. One of them happening tonight, the Rafters are changing. They are turning into superheroes, changing their identity. They are turning into the Mashers. Can we talk about this a little bit, Ryan?
Absolutely. So as we previously mentioned, you know, we're still finishing strong. A lot more fans are coming to the ballpark recently, and the ballpark's getting full at Witterfield. So tonight we're going with our basically City Connect night. This is awesome. You see the Brewers do this a lot at the MLB. This is our way to give back to the community and to grow our fan base, because you know us as Wisconsin Rapids. This time we're Central Wisconsin. We're incorporating everyone north all the way to Wausau and south to Madison and everywhere in between. And this really is like our showcasing of giving back to the community, being Central Wisconsin, being as one. This is going to be an exciting night, Firework Friday, last one of the year, 6:35 first pitch. Gotta love it.
Get on Witterfield, everybody. Take this game in and be listening to Playmakers. We'll be giving away Rafter tickets throughout the whole rest of the season. We're going to make sure that you get no excuse not to get over there and show the other team what home field advantage is. Make sure to get on over there and check out this game. Cheer on your Mashers. Keep an eye out for those auction jerseys as well. I know how much I see them all season, all year long. I see the different red jerseys around and love seeing that. Also keep in mind on August 6th, they're going to be having a National Night Out night over at Witterfield. With a replica police badge giveaway. That's kind of fun. Us here at WFHR will be down there representing, and we're having some fun with the guys and repping with our Rapids Police Department and some of that. I was trying to get Rapids Police Department. I just wasn't rolling
tongue
for
twister.
Me. Yeah, it really was. How much, Harrison, do you enjoy the kind of different jerseys that you've been able to do and stuff with not just this team but other teams? Is it a fun thing for you?
It's a lot of fun. I started out in Macon, so there was one night where I was wearing the kids' championship belt, you know, a cape.
Awesome.
So I'm used to the different stuff, but it's a lot of fun just because you see the kids out there and everybody's having a good time. So it's hard to beat looking up for, like, the T-shirt toss and everybody's losing their mind.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. Ryan, you've been a part of a number of these kind of things this year. How have you been enjoying them?
Love it. This is one of the biggest giveaways I enjoy doing. I've been looking at your bobblehead collection. We need to add a Ziggy one.
I do.
We're going to get that one for you.
Right on.
And that was last night's one. And those are one of the favorite promotions that we love to do. We put a lot of hard work into this one tonight. He also played for Thunder Bay last year. I played for Bismarck last year. So we're very familiar to, like, the Northwoods League, kind of how we do promotions and promoting and getting fans to the ballpark. So nights like these, this is what you look forward to all year.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a blast.
Take in every one of these games that you can, everybody. Of course, Rafter Baseball right on 97.5 FM WFHR, where it belongs. 6:20 start time for tonight, taking on Lakeshore at Winterfield. Get on down there, check out those cool jerseys, and have some fun. Keep in mind, Saturday's game going to be a 6:20 start time at Lakeshore for that one, as well as for Sunday, earlier start time, 12:50. Boys will be in Green Bay on Monday. We'll talk more about that on Playmakers when we get to it. Both of you, thank you for coming to town, hanging out with us, putting up with my questions, and enjoying the area, because we've enjoyed you and we appreciate you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It's been fun.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Playmakers.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Looking back now, well, it makes me laugh. We were growing our hair, we were cutting class. Knew it all already, there was nothing to learn. We were striking matches just to watch them burn. Listen to our music just a little too loud. We were hanging in there with the outcast crowd. Heading to the Rapids with some discount beer.